海坤仔之音服务员于林晶，亲爱的奉献者们，大家早上好。今天是2020年9月16日，星期三。我们再次荣幸地邀请到了 Radha Trump 为我们继续来讲解《永恒的 Chaitanya 经》Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita。Hare Krishna。
Hare Krishna。Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda。
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda。
Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaurabhakta Vrinda。
Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaurabhakta Vrinda。
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda。
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda。
Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaurabhakta Vrinda。
Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai。
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Reading this morning from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila Chapter 22 The Process of Devotional Service
今天我们继续来学习永恒的且贪念经是且贪念 Charitamrita Madhya Lila 中篇逍遥的第22章奉爱服务的程序
Broadcasting this morning from Shida Mayapur
今天我们是在 Shida Mayapur 向大家直播
And、we're going to finish this morning this chapter The Process of Devotional Service We've been spending quite a long time on it
今天早上呢我们将会结束这一章也就是奉爱服务的程序这一章我们已经讲了好长的时间了
And that's for good reason
那是有特别的原因的
Because the process of devotional service requires a lot of attention
因为这样的一个奉爱服务的程序或者是过程需要我们非常的关注
And we should always feel very grateful that we have access to this kind of knowledge and this kind of information.
那么我们有幸能够接触到这样的知识和这样的信息我们应该感到非常的感恩。
In other words, when you look at the bigger picture of Krishna consciousness,
那换句话说如果我们看一看 Krishna 知觉的一个宏观全景的话
we keep in mind that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who is none different than Krishna,
我们要牢记一点就是 Krishna 就是 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 和 Krishna 是没有分别的
appeared 500 years ago in Sri Mayapur Dham.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 是在500年之前显现在 Sri Mayapur Dham.
To give the whole world pure devotion to Krishna.
赐给全世界对 Krishna 的纯粹的爱。
To revive Krishna consciousness in the heart of all human beings.
它的显现是为了去唤醒每一个人心中的对 Krishna 的爱
Through the chanting of the holy name of Krishna
去通过这个 Krishna 的圣名的唱诵
With no rules and no regulation
没有硬性的规则
Just take up the chanting and chant your heart out
只是开始去唱诵由衷的发自肺腑的去唱诵 Krishna 的声音
It is that simple and that powerful
就是这么的简单但是又那么的有力量
Now what happens when people begin to chant
那当一个人开始念诵或者唱诵之后会发生什么呢
Their appetite for devotional service and their attraction to Krishna begins to awaken
那他们呢对这个奉爱服务的这种兴趣就会增厚然后他们对 Krishna 的这个信心也会增强
Now when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that there are no hard and fast rules for chanting the holy name the objective is to chant purely
那 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 说呢唱诵圣名并没有硬性的规则但是呢这里还是有一个言下之意的一个目标也就是说呢要纯粹的去念诵
And Srila Prabhupada explains that if one is able to chant the holy name even once, purely, one can attain pure love for Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada 说哪怕一个人只是纯粹的念诵 Krishna 的圣名一遍他也可以达到奉爱的完美。
But is that the case most of the time? No.
但是大多数情况真的就是这样了吗？并不是。
everyone has different layers of material desires and material misconceptions.
那么我们每一个人呢，都不同程度的有各种一层一层的物质欲望的覆盖，还有物质的这个污染。
Because of being in this material world for unlimited time.
因为我们在这个物质世界已经沦落了无数的生世了。
That's why we called the living entities conditioned souls.
所以我们把这个生物体呢称为是受条件限制的灵魂，就是说是被受局限的。
By nature.The soul is not conditioned. The soul is completely free and independent.
灵魂的本性是不受束缚的，应当是完全是独立和自由的。
But conditioning means that we are forced to be attached to specific patterns of material habits.
那受条件限制，这样的一种限制就是意味着我们受制于某一种物质的奴式的束缚。
We are attached to different material temporary identities.
就是我们被这种物质的这种短暂的认同所覆盖。
And when you go from attachment to detachment, it becomes very painful.
那当你从这样一种非常依附的一种状态到摆脱依附的这种状态，这个过程是非常的痛苦的。
And this is a very interesting phenomenon because the same thing happens on the spiritual platform.
那这个现象呢，也可以解释在这个灵性的这个层面。
That when we are separated from Krishna and we are conscious of it, it becomes very painful.
当我们和 Krishna 是分离，但是同时呢，又觉知到这种分离的时候，内心就会感到非常的痛苦。
Just like if you are separated from someone you love very much, it's very painful.
比如说，当你和深爱的人分离的时候，那对你而言是非常痛苦的。
And then when you reunite with someone you love very much, there is intense pleasure.
那当你与所爱的人相聚、重聚的时候，那就有一种巨大的喜悦。
So the conditioned soul experiences the same thing, but on the material platform.
所以呢，受条件限制的灵魂，它的这种体验也是与此类似的，只不过它是在一个物质的这个层面上而言的。
And all this is very nicely explained in the Bhagavad Gita.
在博迦梵歌里面，对这些都有非常好的描述。
So what?Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is offering is to enter spiritual life through the chanting.
So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢，就是赐给我们一个方法，就是通过去唱诵主的圣名，去进到这个灵性世界。
And the chanting of the holy name of Krishna will awaken the desire to hear about Krishna.
唱诵 Krishna 的这个圣名可以逐步的唤醒。我们去聆听的炽烈的愿望。
In other words, we develop a spiritual appetite.
也就是说呢，我们就有了一种灵性的胃口，就被唤醒了。
And speaking of appetite, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also introduced Krishna Prasadam.
那我们说到这个好胃口，那我们不由自主的就会想到了 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 还赐予了我们这个 Krishna Prasadam.
And therefore,I repeat again and again that these three activities in Krishna consciousness can bring one perfection.
所以呢，我一次又一次的去强调，有三个活动可以帮助一个人达到圆满的境界。
One, the chanting of the holy name.
第一个呢，就是唱诵 Krishna 的圣名的这个活动。
Two, hearing about Krishna.
第二个就是聆听有关 Krishna 的一切。
And three, partaking in Krishna Prasadam.
第三个呢，就是说，去品尝 Krishna 的 Prasadam， 参与 Krishna 的 Prasadam 的活动。
If one has full faith in any of these activities, either one, two, or three of them, one will attain perfection.
但如果一个人抱着全然的信心去参与到这三项活动当中的一项、两项或者全部的三项，他一定会达到完美。
So what does perfection mean?
那我们在这里说的完美意味着什么呢？
It means that it is beyond material knowledge.
就是说它是超越于这个物质的知识范畴的。
It is beyond mystic powers.
也是超越于玄秘力量的范畴。
It's even beyond spiritual knowledge.
甚至超越于灵性的知识。
It's the perfection of pure love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
这是对至尊人格守神的一种纯粹的爱。
So, all this is to say,that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has also presented a system which will help the aspiring devotee to make progress on this path.
总而言之呢，是 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 他赐予了我们这样的一种体系，他使得能够对那些充满着渴望的奉献者们能够沿着一条途径能够达到一个完美之境。
And he did this by teaching his own followers.
那么他是怎么做到的呢？他是通过去教导他的追随者。
Especially the six Goswamis of Vrindavan.
尤其是 Vrindavan 的六位 Goswami.
And out of the six Goswamis, Rupa Goswami and his brother Sanatan Goswami were the main recipients of these teachings.
那在这六位 Goswami 当中又以 Rupa Goswami 和 Sanatan Goswami 为主，他们两个是主要的去接受 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 教导的人。
So now where these teachings are situated is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaching Sanatan Goswami at the city of Varanasi.
那现在呢，就是 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 在这个被称为Varanasi 的这个城市，这个圣城，去跟 Sanatan Goswami 进行奉爱服务的教导。
And previously, just before that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had met with Rupa Goswami in Allahabad.
那在那之前，在 Allahabad, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 和 Rupa Goswami 见了面。
And after teaching Rupa Goswami on the science of devotional service, he dispatched Rupa Goswami to go to Vrindavan and live there.
那当他把这个Krishna 知觉的这门科学教导给 Rupa Goswami 之后，当他讲完了这些教导之后，他就把 Rupa Goswami 给派到了 Vrindavan， 并且让他居住在那里。
So the way Chaitanya Mahaprabhu operates is that first he gives mercy.
那 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢，他通常的做法是怎样的呢？就是首先呢，他先给予对方仁慈。
Mercy means that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or the spiritual master or the devotees, when the mercy comes, means now you become a recipient to absorb Krishna consciousness.
那当 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 还有灵性导师或者奉献者给予仁慈的时候是怎样的呢？就是说明这个接受者他接受了他们的这个仁慈，于是他就有了这样的一种能力去理解这个 Krishna 知觉的要义。
And mercy is you cannot plan to receive mercy. Mercy comes at any time under any circumstances.
那这个仁慈它可以随时随地随时的这样发生降临在你的身上，并不是说你提前可以预设好的。
So after the mercy comes, the empowerment comes.
当仁慈降临之后呢，就有了这种力量的赋予。
You become empowered to receive and understand the teachings.
这样呢，你就是被赋予了这种力量，你可以去理解，不仅理解，还可以去教导他人。
After the empowerment has been given, the teachings are given.
那当把这种力量赐予对方之后，然后就是教导。
After the teachings are given, the instructions are given.
那在教导之后呢，就是训谕、训示。
So Rupa Goswami received the mercy of Lord Chaitanya.
所以呢 ，Rupa Goswami 就接受了Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 给他的仁慈。
Then he became empowered to hear from Lord Chaitanya.
然后呢， 他就被赋予了力量，他可以去聆听且他娘马哈帕布给他说的所有的话。
Then he received instructions from Lord Chaitanya.
接着他就接受了且他娘马哈帕布给他的教导。
And then he received the service from Lord Chaitanya.
然后又从且他娘马哈帕布那里接受了服务。
He said, "Now you go to Vrindavan."
所以呢，且他娘马哈帕布就对他说，现在你可以去 Vrindavan 了。
And you explore the teachings that I have given you.And you write books about it.
你要深入的去探索我所给你的这些知识，并且呢去写书。
So then Lord Chaitanya went to Varanasi and he met Sanatan Goswami.
那在那之后，齐达尼亚马哈帕布就到Varanasi 城，然后在那里见到了 Sanatan Goswami.
And the same thing happened exactly the same way.
那同样的这个程序呢？又完全的重复了一遍。
He gave his mercy to Sanatan Goswami.
他给 Sanatan Goswami 仁慈。
Then he empowered Sanatan Goswami to hear the transcendental knowledge of Krishna consciousness.
赐予他这种去聆听超然知识的能力力量。
Then he's going to instruct Sanatan Goswami, and then he's going to give him his service.
然后接下来就是去教导 Sanatan Goswami, 然后最后呢？就是把一个服务赐给他，让他去做。
So where we are now in this chapter 22, we are almost at the end of this chapter. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given all the details of the practicality of devotional service.
那么我们现在呢是讲到的《玛达丽拉》第二十二章的末尾的这个部分了。在这之前 ，Sanatan Goswami 已经把奉爱服务的。实际践行的这个部分都非常详细的一讲解给了 Sanatan Goswami.
First, he explained to Sanatan Goswami why the process of Bhakti Yoga is the highest process to reach to the lotus feet of Krishna.
那么首先呢，他给 Sanatan Goswami 解释的，就是说呢，为什么这个 Krishna 知觉它是。达到祖的莲花族的一个最高的途径。
And then he explained to him what are all the things that an aspiring devotee should do or should not do to become purified.
那一个心中充满着渴望的一个奉献者，他应当做一些什么？他不应当做些什么
？So those teachings given to Sanatan Goswami, they're actually given to us.
所以说他给 Sanatan Goswami 的所有的这些教导其实也是同样的给予我们的。
Because later on, when Rupa and Sanatan will be in Vrindavan together, this is what they're going to work on together to produce books on the science of devotional service.
所以说呢就是 Rupa Goswami和这个 Sanatan Goswami 呢，他们之后到了 Vrindavan， 他们在一起之后呢，他们就要去著书立说，然后基于且他娘马哈帕布给他们的教导呢，去传递就是奉爱服务的科学。
Now we have to also understand the context of the situation in Vrindavan in those days, 500 years ago.
那同时我们要对 Vrindavan 在500年之前的这种历史背景、社会环境要有一个了解。
No one lived there.
那个时候没有人生活在就是 Vrindavan.
There were just a few villages, a few people lived because Vrindavan is just a large, expanded forest.
因为 Vrindavan 呢，它是一大片丛林。所以说在那里呢只住了少数的一些村民。
So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent Rupa and Sanatan, he didn't give them a specific address.
所以当 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 他把 Rupa Goswami 和 Sanatan Goswami 派到 Vrindavan 的时候，并没有给他们指定一个特别的地方让他们居住在那里。
There's no home, there's no streets, there's no street number.
在那里他没有给他们准备好一个家，也没有街道号、门牌号什么的。
They lived in the forest.
他们就是这样生活在森林里面。
They slept under the trees.
他们就是住在大树下的。
And remember, both of them previously were ministers, very highly situated in the government, and were extremely wealthy.
那大家要知道，他们之前都是在政府里面担任要职、位居高位的那些大臣级的人、首相级的人，而且他们是非常非常富有的。
But they rejected voluntarily material wealth to gain spiritual wealth.
但是呢，他们主动的放弃了他们世俗的财富，为的是去接受灵性的财富。
Now, not everybody can or will do that.
并不是每一个人都有能力或者说愿意这么去做的。
But Lord Chaitanya wanted these Goswamis to be the highest example and the highest standard.
但是 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢，希望这六个 Goswami 们能够为世人去树立一个最高的典范和标准。
To show that ultimately we have to be detached from the material energy and become attached to the spiritual energy.
就是要证明，终极而言，我们呢就是。要去除这些物质能量对我们的这种影响，而脱避于灵性的能量。
And hopefully make this one lifetime in this human form the life where we can attain perfection.
而且呢，要用我们这一世的这个人体的这个生命而达到生命的完美。
So Rupa and Sanatan went to live in Vrindavan.
那 Rupa 和 Sanatan 呢，他们就是居住在了 Vrindavan。
And sitting under the trees, they began to put all these teachings into writing.
他们呢就住在这个大树下面，然后把之前所聆听到的这些教导呢，都变成了文字记载了下来。
Now there were no shops where they could buy ream of paper.
那他们那个当时也没有商店可以去买纸。
Right, and then buy a box of pencils.
他们也没法买一盒铅笔来写。
Or an iPad where you can key in all your teachings and then store them into your folder.
他们也没有这个 iPad， 然后把他的这些教导全部都输入之后，然后储存成文档。就是做不到。
They were surrounded by peacocks and surrounded by parrots.
他们周围都是这个孔雀呀，鹦鹉呀。
Surrounded by cows.
还有奶牛。
And monkeys.
猴子。
And they were completely into the atmosphere of Vrindavan, just as it was when Krishna was there.
他们就完全的沉浸在 Vrindavan 的这种美妙的氛围之中，就好。好像是当年 Krishna 降临的时候那样。
And why were they the most qualified persons to be there and to write about Krishna?
那什么样的人才最有资格去居住在 Vrindavan 并且去撰写有关 Krishna 的一切呢？
Because they actually reside in the spiritual world and they serve Krishna eternally in the spiritual world in Vrindavan, and therefore they come to this world to show us.How to go back to Krishna?
就是像他们这样的，因为他们原本就是居住在灵性世界的 Goloka Vrindavan， 并且呢一直在为Krishna 做奉献服务的，所以他们是为了我们降临到这个世俗的这个世界来，并且来告诉我们怎么样才能够回归到那个原本的家园灵性世界。
So the nature of their writing was of two different aspects.
那他们的这个文献呢，主要是两种写法。
They wrote many books on the technicalities of the practice of devotional service, just as what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has been teaching until now.
第一个呢，他们就是把那个践行奉爱服务的这个程序非常详细的记录下来了。那里面呢，它是非常有体系，而且还有很多的这个术语。
All the things we need to do every day.
就比如说我们每天都必须要做的这些事情。
That we don't really want to do, but we have to.
就是那些我们其实不太想做的，但是也不得不做的事情。
Why? Because the guru said we should do it.
为什么呢？我们还得去做呢？因为 guru 说了这些事情都必须得做，所以。
And because all the devotees are also doing it, and if you don't do it, then puha is.
然后就是。别的奉献者都这么做，如果我不做的话，那就很不好意思了。
In other words, we are attracted to Krishna consciousness, but sometimes it's very, you know, difficult to every day follow those rules and regulations.
那换句话说，就是说我们的确是被 Krishna 之觉所吸引，但是每天呢都要恪守这些规范原则，这一条又一条的，就会觉得比较的困难。
Why is it so difficult?
为什么觉得那么难呢？
Or sometimes we may even think, what's the point? Why is it so necessary?
有的时候我们甚至心里面还会发出一个质疑的声音，为什么这些事情是那么必要的？这些事情非做不可吗？
Because we still have material attachments.
那为什么我们会质疑呢？因为我们还是有这个物质的依附。
So these same activities of following rules and regulations can actually be enjoyed if one's heart is clean.
其实呢，当一个人的内心变得非常的纯净之后，他是可以非常的去享受这些规范原则的。
And therefore, we see that even those who are on the liberated platform, they never give up following these rules and regulations.
这就是为什么我们会看到那些已经达到了这个解脱之境的人，他们依然没有放弃这些规范原则，还在坚持的去做。
So, the first part is the active life of a devotee in following these regulative principles.
所以呢，他们所撰写的这个第一部分的内容，就是说作为奉献者要去执行、要去践行的这些规范原则。
This is called sadhana bhakti.
这个呢，在梵文里就被称为是 sadhana bhakti.
Regulated devotion.
就是说规范化的奉爱服务的。
So that the body, the mind, and the senses are put onto a program which is like a rehabilitation program.
所以呢，这样呢，你的这个躯体啊、心意还有感官呢，就好像是被设定了一个程序一样。就好像进入了一个康复的程序。
Now we have to understand that all the different rules and regulations that are given, they are not material, they are spiritual.
那我们要知道一点，就是这些规范原则并不是世俗的，都是灵性的。
And they also exist in the spiritual world, but they are situated on the spontaneous platform. People do these rules and regulations out of pure love.
这些规范原则在灵性世界，那些灵性世界灵魂他们也是做的，只不过他是完全在一种自然而发的这种状态之中，他不需要把它当成非做不可的规范原则，而是发自内心的，就是非常热爱的去做。
For example, there are many, many rules about deity worship that Lord Chaitanya has given to Sanatan Goswami.
比如说呢，就是切特尼马哈帕布给 Sanatan Goswami 解释到的关于崇拜神像中的种种细节。
So deity means a form of Krishna which is worshipped in the temple.
神像呢，就是意味着是Krishna 的一个形体。那么在一般来说，就是在神就是在庙里面供大家崇拜的。
And that form receives all sorts of services.
那么就是这样的一个神像的形象，它会接受各种各样的就是服务。
So Prabhupada explains, you don't know how to get to Krishna. Krishna comes to you in a deity form.
所以呢 ，Prabhupada 他就是说呢，你们不是不知道怎么去接近 Krishna 吗？那 Krishna 他就亲自的以神像的这个形象来接近你。
And you can dress Krishna.
这样你就可以给Krishna 穿着打扮。
You can bathe Krishna.
为 Krishna 沐浴。
You can feed Krishna.
然后呢，可以做好吃的给 Krishna 供奉。
You can offer flowers to Krishna.
向 Krishna 供奉鲜花。
You can have a festival for Krishna.
为 Krishna 去举行节日的典礼。
So the process of deity worship is very powerful and very important for the neophyte devotees.
所以呢，作为这个初级的奉献者而言，这个神像崇拜的这个方式呢，是非常的有效，非常有力量。
So these activities of worshipping the deities, they are the same as what we do in the spiritual world, but instead of the deity which is made of marble or wood or metal, it's Krishna himself.
那就是说，所以说崇拜神像，我们刚才所说的这些事情，其实同样在灵性世界也都是做的，只不过呢，在灵性世界都不是去崇拜以这个大理石、木头或者金属雕成的这个 Krishna 的或者是神像，不是神像，而是 Krishna。 本人。
So we learn through this process to develop a personal relationship with Krishna by serving him in the form of his deity.
所以呢，当我们就是服务于 Krishna 的神像的这个形象的时候，我们也就不断的去学会了怎么样就是非常细致的、亲身的去服务于他。
We learn to serve the devotees.
我们还学会了怎么样去服务奉献者。
Because don't forget, if you can't get along with the devotees in this world, how are you going to get along with them in the spiritual world?
那我们别忘了一个事实，如果说我们在物质世界都不知道怎么跟奉献者友好相处的话，那到了灵性世界，我们怎么跟他们相处呢？
If you say, I don't like this person, I don't like this person, then how are you going to like this person in the spiritual world?
那如果说你在这里就一个劲儿的说，这个人我不喜欢，那个人我不喜欢，那你到了灵性世界的时候，你还怎么样跟他们去相处呢？
We learn to serve the spiritual master.
我们还在这里学习怎么样去服务灵性导师。
We learn to serve Tulsi Devi.
我们还学习怎么样去服务 Tulsi Devi, 杜西女神。
We learn to study the Shastra and understand the Shastra.
而且还学习怎么样去研读经典，怎么去理解经典。
So this is the training ground.
所以呢，这个就相当于是一个培训基地了。
And all these activities exist in the spiritual world, but on the pure platform.
这些所有的我们要做的这些规范原则的这些活动，其实在灵性世界都是有的，只不过区别是灵性世界它都是纯粹的，在纯粹的这
种
层面上。
The great Acharya Vishvanatha Chakravarti Thakur,
所以呢，一位非常伟大的 Acharya Vishvanatha Chakravarti Thakur
has written this book, which we spoke about during the teachings of Rupa Goswami.
那就是他写了一本书，这本书是我们之前在讲到Chaitanya Mahaprabhu给 Rupa Goswami 教导的时候所提到的。
Which is called Madhurya Kadambini.
这个书名就叫做 Madhurya Kadambini.
So the Madhurya Kadambini.This book is about the different levels of bhakti from the neophyte level to the completely liberated level.
那么就是这个在 Madhurya Kadambini 这部书里面呢，就是讲到了这个从初习者的这个奉爱服务，一直达到最完美纯粹的这个奉爱服务的整个的这个奉献者的整个的就是这个过程都写到了。
So there is Shraddha.Of faith.
这个就第一个就叫做 Shraddha 就是一个人的信心。
Then there is Sadhu Sangha or association with devotees.
然后接下来就是 Sadhu Sangha 就是跟奉献者的联谊。
Then there is Anatta Nivritti, removing all material desires from the heart.
Anatta Nivritti 就是把所有的这个物质欲望从内心中清除的阶段。
Then there is Nishtha of beingFixed in the process of devotional service.
Nishtha 呢，就是专定或者是坚处于这个奉献服务之中。
Then there is ashakti or attachment to the process of devotional service and attachment to Krishna.
那 ashakti 呢，就是对 Krishna 的奉爱服务以及对 Krishna 产生了非常强烈的依附之情。
Then there is ruchi, which is the taste.For serving Krishna.
那 Ruchi 就已经是在这个对 Krishna 的服务当中有所品味。
Then there is Bhava, which is the first symptoms of pure love for Krishna.
那 Bhava 呢，就好像就是对 Krishna 的爱的第一个初级的这个真相就展现出来了。
And then finally, there is Prema.Which is the highest level of pure love for Krishna.
那最后就是说 prema, 这个是对 Krishna 的纯粹的爱，就是完全的展示。
So far, everything that Lord Chaitanya has explained and taught to Sanatan Goswami is up to anatta nivritti or how to remove material desires.
所以呢，就是讲到这里为止呢 ，Sanatan Goswami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 其实还是对 Sanatan Goswami 才讲到了这个 anatta.意思就是说到这个去除内心中污染的这一点。
And the last example that Lord Chaitanya has given is the example of Ambarish Maharaj, the great king.
那最后在前面讲到的最后的一个例子就是Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 举到了这个 Ambarish Maharaj 的例子。
How he used his mind,
他是怎么样用他的心意
his words,
他的言语
his hands,
他的双手
his ears,
耳朵
his eyes,
眼睛
his body,
躯体
his nostrils,
鼻孔
his tongue,
舌头
his legs,
双腿
his head,
他的头
and his desires,
然后他的愿望
everything in Krishna's service.
就是他是怎么把所有的这一切全部都用来为 Krishna 做奉献服务的。
This is how he attained pure bhakti.
他就是通过这样的方式而达到了纯粹的奉爱之境。
And then he gave the example of great exalted devotees who also attained perfection by different aspects of devotional service.
然后接下来呢他就是讲到了就是这个不同的奉献服务当中就是有不同的奉献者通过一项一项不同的奉献服务达到完美。
Maharaj Parikshit attained perfection by hearing.
比如说 Maharaj Parikshit 他是通过聆听而达到完美的。
Shukadev Goswami attained perfection by speaking.
那 Shukadev Goswami 呢他是通过讲述而达到这个完美。
Prahlad Maharaj attained perfection by remembering.
Prahlad Maharaj 是通过意念达到完美。
Lakshmi attained perfection by serving.
Lakshmi 呢，他是通过服务而达到完美。
Maharaj Prithu attained perfection by worshipping.
Maharaj Prithu 就是 Prithu 大君，他是通过崇拜 Krishna 而达到完美的。
Akura attained perfection by offering prayers.
Akura 呢，他是通过祈祷达到完美。
Hanuman.Attained perfection by serving Ram.
那 Hanuman 呢是通过就是服务他的主人 Ram 而达到完美。
Arjuna attained perfection by friendship.
Arjuna 是通过与 Krishna 的友谊而达到完美。
And Bali Maharaj attained perfection by giving everything.
那 Bali Maharaj 呢他是把所有的一切都献给了 Krishna 以此达到完美的。
So, all these examples.Are given in the Srimad Bhagavatam.
所有的这些经典的例子都是呈现在圣典博迦瓦坛里。
So this is the reason why we begin Krishna consciousness first by studying the Bhagavad Gita.
这就是为什么我们这个学习 Krishna 知觉的程序呢是属于始于这个阅读博迦梵歌。
And in the Bhagavad Gita, there are 5 topics.
在《博迦梵歌》里面呢，一共有五个主题。
The soul，
一个就是说是灵魂。
Time，
还有时间。
Material nature，
物质自然。
The super soul，
这个至尊主。
And
karma，
and karma，
然后是业报活动。
So these 5 topics of the Bhagavad Gita establishes what is known as Sambandha.
那这五个主题串起来其实就是我们所说的Sambandha Gyan.
So Gyana means knowledge and Sambandha is what it's like binding, it's what really grounds you in your understanding of your position.
那 Sambandha Gyan, 这个 Gyan 的意思是知识Sambandha 呢就是指的是一种很强烈的牢固的一种连接它使你非常扎实在你的这个处于你的这个位置上面在你的这个扎实的这个位置上面去理解。
It's like people read so many books, they hear so many people.
就是说就好像说很多人他们看了很多很多的书然后也听到了各种各样的人物的例子。
And they think, wow, this is really spiritual, wow, this is really good, wow, this is really amazing.
然后他们就会惊叹不已这个真是了不起那个真是不可思议这个真是太妙了。
And then you get the Bhagavad Gita.
然后去看博迦梵歌。
And it's like pouring cement. That's it.
那就看了这个。
Settled.
就是看这个博迦梵歌就好像是水泥的浇筑一样的之前只是一框架然后把那个水泥浇筑进去之后呢那就是固定住了成型了不动了。
Everything you need to know is in the Bhagavad Gita.
换句话说就是你之前听到的 那些零零碎碎的东西现在全部都在国家梵歌里面出现了。
The Bhagavad Gita is the essence of all the Vedas.
因为呢，国家梵歌它是整个伟达经典的精髓部分。
And this is spoken by Krishna himself.
而且是由 Krishna, 主 Krishna 本人亲自讲述的。
So once we have entered the world of the teachings of Bhagavad Gita and we begin to practice Krishna consciousness,We are invited into the next body of knowledge, which is the Srimad Bhagavatam.
当我们去开始打开国家梵歌，去学习这个超然的灵性知识，并且去亲身的去实践奉献服务之后呢，然后我们就又一个新的知识的一个大门向我们敞开了。这个就是圣典博加瓦坛，就走到圣典博加瓦坛的这个体系里面。
And what is the translation of the two words Srimad Bhagavatam?
那这个 Srimad Bhagavatam 这两个字的含义又是什么呢？
It means the beautiful story of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His pure devotees.
它的意思就是说，至尊人格神首以及他的纯粹的奉献者的。关于他们的美妙的故事。
And it is not done in chronological order.
而且它不是以这种年代的顺序来讲述的。
It's not based on history.
也不是基于这个历史。
It's about the exchange between a devotee and the Supreme Lord.
它的核心是围绕着奉献者和至尊主之间的交流。
From the most difficult situation to the most exalted situation.
就是在这个，就是看讲的是奉献者和 Krishna 至尊主之间的他们那种情感交流和互动，从这种最艰难的处境，一直到最崇高的这种境况。
So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we move on to the next level of Krishna consciousness, which is called Abhideya.
所以呢，就到了圣典博加瓦坛这个时候，我们就上升了一步，就到了 Abhideya Gyan 的这个层面。
Abhideya Gyan means the knowledge of practical service.
Abhideya Gyan 呢，指的是关于实践、践行、实际的奉献服务的知识。
So all the different devotees we just listed, how they attain perfection.Their stories are in the Srimad Bhagavatam, how they served Krishna and attained perfection.
所以说我们刚才讲的那种九项奉献服务的代表者，那些奉献者，他们的这些逍遥时光都是记载在圣典博加瓦坛里的。从中我们就会看到他们是怎么去通过亲身的去服务主而达到完美的。
So there are 10 topics in the Srimad Bhagavatam.
那在圣典博加瓦坛里面呢，一共有十个主题。
Which brings one systematically closer and closer to Krishna in Vrindavan.
这个十个主题呢，它是层层递进，就是让一个人逐步逐步的去进入到 Vrindavan.
And the last topic of the Srimad Bhagavatam is called Ashraya, which is the ultimate shelter.
那么圣典博加瓦坛中的一个最后的一个主题就是 Ashraya, 意思就是说是终极的庇护。
And that is the 10th canto, Krishna's pastime when he came 5,000 years ago.
那么最后呢，这个巅峰就是 Krishna 5,000 年之前来到这个地球的逍遥时光。
From the appearance of Krishna,
就是从 Krishna的显现开始
to his childhood pastime in Vrindavan,
讲到了他在 Vrindavan 的这个童年逍遥时光
to his intimate relationship with the gopis of Vrindavan,
然后呢是他跟在Vrindavan 的 gopi 牧牛姑娘们之间的这种亲密无间的逍遥时光
and to his pastime in Dwarka,
然后就再到 Dwarka 的逍遥时光
and during that time also Krishna went to Kurukshetra, spoke the Bhagavad Gita,
然后还讲到了他到这个 Kurukshetra, 库鲁之野讲述国家梵歌
butWhat we hear from this 10th canto is how Krishna left Vrindavan.
那我们在这个圣典博加瓦坛第十篇里面还可以看到 Krishna 是怎么离开 Vrindavan 的。
And he created this very intense feeling of separation.
他创造了这种他造就了一种非常强烈的 这种分离之情。
So these feelings of separation is now represented by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
那么这样的一种他离开 Vrindavan 的这种分离之情呢，现在就是完全的体现在了 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的身上。
So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Vaidhi Bhakti Sadanera Kahirun Vivarna Raganuga Bhaktira Lakshana Suna Sanatan. My dear Sanatan, I have now in detail described devotional service according to the regulative principles. Now hear from me about spontaneous devotional service and its characteristics.
那其他呢马哈帕布呢就是说亲爱的 Sananta, 至此我已经根据规范原则向你详述了奉爱服务的程序。现在请听我讲解自然而发的奉爱服务以及特征及其特征。
Yes. So in other words, this practice of devotional service by following rules and regulations, they have an objective. They're not just given so you can just use them for what they are. No, they have to lead to something higher.
换句话说就是说前面所讲的这些规范原则呢并不是为了遵守而遵守所提供给你的，他们是有目标的，就是通过去遵循这些规范原则呢，其实你就寻到了一条路径，然后它会自然的把你过渡到这种自然而发的奉爱服务之中。自然而发的奉爱服务就是规范原则的目标。
And Prabhupada gives a very simple example to illustrate that.In the nectar of devotion.
那在这个奉爱的甘露当中，释迦牟尼佛他举出了一个很简单的一个例子来说明这一点。
He says, on a neophyte platform, we have to drag ourselves out of the bed in the morning to begin our service.
那释迦牟尼佛他说，当我们在初期的这个阶段的时候我们得把自己从床上使劲地拽起来，我们才能够开始一天的奉献服务。
But when we have pure love for Krishna, we don't even sleep.
但是呢，当我们对 Krishna 已经有了纯粹的奉爱之情的时候，我们甚至可以不睡觉。
Because we can't wait for another opportunity to serve Krishna.
因为我们时时刻刻都在迫不及待地等待着下一个为 Krishna 做奉献服务的机会。
So he says now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says now, I want to talk to you about spontaneous.
那么所以呢 ,Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 说呢现在我要给你讲这种自发的奉献服务。
How do you explain spontaneous in Chinese?
To be simple, it's...自发的，简短说就自发的。
Yeah,
那长一点就自然而然或者自然而发的，自发的。
Yeah, but how do you understand it?
Understand is you don't even have to think. It's like in your gene, you do it automatically. You don't have to tell yourself you have to do it. 来，长胖不让我解释一下，当我们中文里面一说到自发的话，那到底是一种什么样的？
Is there anything spontaneous that you can experience in the Chinese environment?
Oh, yes, yes.
Like what?
我们解释一下，就是如果一说到自发，你有没有在什么中国的这个环境里面，你马上就会就是这种油然而生？我说 ，It's if you see a very beautiful cake and spontaneously you want to eat it. 这就好像你看到了一个特别漂亮的诱人的蛋糕一样，你立刻就马上就想去品尝它的味道，这个有点像自发的，就不用通过脑子去想。
Like when the mid-autumn festival comes, you don't have to tell people that spontaneously they will go into the holiday and spontaneously they will fill themselves up with mooncakes.
就好像是这个中秋节来的时候，你想都不用想，不假思索的，你立刻就进入度假的这种模式这种状态，然后呢就是拼命的吃那个月饼。
So, how do we understand spontaneity? We understand spontaneity when we look at the example of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, how they serve Krishna.
那如果我们要看看这种自发的欢欢服务到底是一个什么样子的话, 那我们就要看看 Vrindavan的这些居民。
Of course, there are many other examples of spontaneous devotees.
当然说到了这种, 自发自然的这种欢欢服务的话, 当然还有很多其他的例子。
Like Anuman is a perfect example of spontaneous love for Ram.
比如说神猴哈努曼, 他对他的主人 Ram的这种服务,这种情感, 就可以说是自发的。
So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Ragatmika Bhakti Mukya Braja Basi Jane Hara Anugata Bhakti Tira Raguna Raganuga Name. The original inhabitants of Vrindavan are attached to Krishna spontaneously in devotional service. Nothing can compare to such spontaneous devotional service, which is called ragatmika bhakti. When a devotee follows in the footsteps of the devotees of Vrindavan, his devotional service is called raga nuga bhakti.
那这里就是说到呢，在这个文达文的最原初的这些居民们，就是在奉爱服务之中自然而然的依附于 Krishna， 没有什么能够与这样的自发的奉爱服务相媲美了。这被称为 Ragatmika Bhakti， Ragatmika， yeah， Ragatmika Bhakti， 当一位奉献者追随了文达文奉献者的步伐时， 他所做的奉爱服务就被称为 Raganuka Bhakti. Raganuka Bhakti.
Okay, so these are two terms, Ragatmika and Raganuga.
那这里有两个词语，一个词语叫做 Ragatmika， 还有一个词被称为 Raganuga.
So the word Raga, Raga means spontaneous, like passion.
Raga呢，就是一种自然喷发的一种情感。 When we talk about the music raga, is it related?
Yes.
就好像我们说印度的那个音乐的这个曲调，它有一种特别的韵律，这种曲调的话就被称为 raga.
So raga atmika, at there is raga and atma means the complete pure soul of the inhabitants of Vrindavan serves Krishna unconditionally.
那这里有一个就是 atma， 就是说它这个意思呢，就是说这样的一些灵魂，就是 Vrindavan 的这些居民，这些纯粹的灵魂，他们对 Krishna 所做的这些自然而然的奉献服务，完全是在一个纯粹灵魂的层面上。So
the eternal associates of Krishna in Vrindavan, either in his pastime in this world or in the spiritual world, they are called ragatmika devotees.
所以说呢，就是 Krishna， 就是 Vrindavan的这些居民们，无论是在这个地球上和 Krishna 在一起的这些逍遥时光，还是在灵性世界的逍遥时光，他们所做的这些奉献服务都被称为是 ragatmika bhakti.
And then you have the devotees who are learning.
那就还有一些就是那些在学习的奉献者。
They're learning from the Vrindavan devotees.
他们就是学习Vrindavan居民，以他们为榜样。
So these are called Raga Anuga. It means Anu means to follow.
这个的，他们这些人就被称为是 Raga Anuga。 这个 Raga Anuga 这两个字拼起来的 Anuga 的意思呢，就是说去。
So in order to reach pure devotion for Krishna, we have to learn from those who are already pure.
所以你如果要达到学习到对 Krishna 的纯粹的奉爱服务的话，那就必须要去追随那些已经是达到纯粹境界的人。
So this whole presentation today is to give a picture of where we are situated in the material, how we enter spiritual life, and what is at the end of our practices. What is the result of what we're doing in Krishna consciousness?
所以说, 那我们今天其实讲课的一个概要就是说，我们怎么样去认清自己在这个物质世界里面的一个位置，然后呢又告诉我们怎么样能够进入奉爱服务的世界，然后又告诉我们通过我们在这个物质世界所从事的这些规范服务，最终它可以导向哪里，就是可以去到什么样的一个境界，我们在这个世界所做的所有的这些事情，具体的事情，它最终给我们的终极目标是什么。
So now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to bring us into a very special space.
那现在呢 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 就要把我们带到了一个非常特殊的空间。
And we may not understand it.
那么这个空间可能我们很难理解。
We may hear words, we may read words, but they may not make sense to us.
就是说这些词呢你可能是可以读到了甚至也可以念出来，但是呢你可能都不知道，无法理解这些词语到底是代表的是什么含义。
Even if they are explained with logic.
特别即便是以这个逻辑去进行分析解释，你可能依然还是一无所知。
Don't forget the teachings of Lord Chaitanya in the Chaitanya Charitamrita is already on the highest platformof understanding Krishna consciousness.
大家不要忘记了在 Chaitanya Charitamrita 永恒的 Chaitanya 经里面所讲到的 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 所给出的这个教导已经代表了 Krishna 知觉的一个最高境界了。
So the next chapter, which is called Life's Ultimate Goal, will be all about how love is being expressed and exchanged in Vrindavan with Krishna.
那么下面的这一章呢，内容就是说生命的终极目标。那在那一章里面，就是要讲到了 Vrindavan 他们的这些居民们，他们是怎么样去表达他们的爱的，他们跟 Krishna 之间的这种爱又是怎么的交流互动的。
And Lord Chaitanya is going to present this in the sweetest and most beautiful way.
而且 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢，将会以一种最甜蜜最美妙的一种方式去呈现这样的一种爱心交流。
For now, he is doing the introduction to it.
那现在呢，只不过就像是一个导读一样。
Iste gada trishna ragera swarupa lakshana, iste avishtata etatashta lakshana. The primary characteristic of spontaneous love is deep attachment for the supreme personality of Godhead.Absorptions in thought of him is a marginal characteristic.
Why is it marginal?
It's on the side.
就是说呢，这种自然而然的这种爱是对至尊人格守神的依附的一个最重要的特征。这种对至尊人格守神的心心念念的思念是一种边际性的特征，这个边际性，他用了这个 marginal 边缘边际性。
In other words, the priority here is our spontaneous love. The fact that we think about Krishna is secondary.
那换句话说呢，就是对 Krishna 的这种自然而然的这种强烈的爱，它是主体，而这个你用心去思，想着 Krishna， 这种想还仅仅是一个。边缘性的，就是不是主体的，是次要。
Ragamai bhaktira hoy ragatmikanam taha suni luba hoy kona bhagavan. Thus, devotional service which consists of raga, deep attachment, is called ragatmika, spontaneous loving service. If a devotee covets such a position, he is considered to be most fortunate.
那在这里就是说到了，因而这个由 raga， 也就是说是深沉的依恋的、深沉依附的这种元素所组成的奉爱服务，就被称为 raga mika， 意思就是自然而然的爱心服务。如果一个奉献者渴望着这样的一种地位的话，那么他就被认为是最幸运的。
So.In other words, when we develop deep attachment for Krishna, we are in a very good position.
换句话说就是说，如果说 我们能够很深的去依恋依附这个 Krishna 的话，那我们可以认为我们还是非常的幸运的。
And the only way to achieve that position, lobe braja vashira bhave kore anugati shastra yukti nahi mane raganugara prakriti. If one follows in the footsteps of the inhabitants of Vrindavan out of such transcendental covetousness, he does not care for the injunction or reasonings of shastra. That is the way of spontaneous love.
就是说呢，如果一个人能够以出于这样的一种超然的渴望或者说贪恋，能够去追随 Vrindavan 的居民的步伐，而不在意 Shastra 经典的教导和理由，那么这样的一种爱就被称为是自然而然的爱。
So, what does this mean? It means that those who are on the liberated platform of Vrindavan, for them, there are no more rules, there are no more regulations, there's no more timing, there's no calculation anymore. It's just love pouring out of the heart.
所以说呢，他这里的意思就是说 ，Vrindavan 的居民他们是一种什么爱呢？他们已经都完全是浑然忘我那样，完全已经忘记了时间，他们也不会去计算然后呢他们也不会去思考，然后所有的都是这种从内心当中喷薄而出的这种爱，奔涌而出的这种爱，所以他们也不会去思考，哦，经典里面是这样教导的，经典里面的逻辑是那样的，一切都是自然而然的。
But the acharyas are warning us that even when you are on the spontaneous platform in this very body, you don't give up following the rules and regulations.
但是 Acharya 们他们也就警示我们了，即便是你在这个躯体当中已经达到了这种自发奉爱服务的自然而然之爱的这种境界的话，也不能放弃规范原则的修习。
Devotional service in spontaneous love is vividly expressed and manifested by the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Devotional service that accords with their devotional service is called Raga Nuga Bhakti, or devotional service following in the wake of spontaneous loving service.
在这里呢，就是说是，就是 Vrindavan 的居民们表达和展示了这种在自然生动的表达和展示了这种在自然而然的爱之中的奉爱服务，与这种奉爱服务所相应的奉献服务就被称为 Raganuga Bhakti， 或者说是追随着自然而然的爱心服务的那种奉爱服务。
So here is what this means.
那这个具体又是什么意思呢？
When an advanced realized devotee hears about the affairs of the devotees of Vrindavan, either in a neutral position, shanta, servitorship, dasya, friendship, shakya, parentalhood, vatsalya, or loving affairs, madhurya, he becomes inclined in one of these ways, one of the five, and his intelligence become attracted. Indeed, he begins to covet that particular type of devotion. When such covetousness is awakened, one's intelligence no longer depends on the instructions of Shastra or on logic or arguments. So the devotee comes to a stage where he will find affinity to follow one of these five.
这段的意思就是说呢，就是当一个非常精进的自我觉悟的奉献者聆听到了 Vrindavan 的奉献者们的逍遥时无论是在这种 Shanta 就是中性的关系，还是 Dasya 就是仆人的关系，还是Sakya 就是就是朋友的这种关系，还是 Vatsalya 父母和孩子之间的关系，还是 Madhurya 就是爱侣的这种爱的关系之中，他就会 对其中这五种当中的其中的一种有产生某一种倾向，这个时候呢，他的智性，他的智慧就会被深深的吸引。事实上呢，他就开始对这些奉献服务当中的某一种产生了强烈的渴求之情。当这样的一种渴望，或者说这样的一种贪婪被唤醒之后，他的智慧就再也不会只是依赖于 Shastra 经典启示经典的教导了，他也不依赖于逻辑和论辩。
So I just want to move because these are the last verses of this chapter.
因为这些都是属于这一章当中的最后的一些细节。
One executes his Raganuga Bhakti in two ways, externally and internally.When self-realized, the advanced devotee externally remains like a neophyte. In other words, seen by others, he looks like he is like everybody else. And he executes all the rules and regulations, especially hearing and chanting. But within his mind, in his original purified self-realized position, he serves Krishna in Vrindavan in this particular way. He serves Krishna 24 hours a day,all day and night. I can explain this.
一个人呢，他可以以两种途径，一种是外在的和内在的，来执行这种 Raganuga Bhakti, Raganuga 奉爱。当一个自我觉悟的精进的奉献者，从外在是看起来就像是一个出席的奉献者，并且去按照所有的 Shastra。就是启示经典的教导去执行奉献服务，尤其是那些与聆听和唱诵有关的那些奉献服务的时候，但其实在他的这种心中，他是在自己最原本的最进化的最自我觉悟的这样的一个境界之中，他会以自己独特的方式在 Vrindavan 去服务 Krishna， 他可以一天24小时日日夜夜的服务 Krishna。
In other words, externally you may still follow all the rules and regulations, but internally you are with Krishna 24/7。
那换句话说，就是说从外在而言，你去外在看的话，这样的一个奉献者似乎也跟别人差不多，就是在遵照的这些规范原则去经典的规范原则去从事他的奉献服务，但是在内在而言，他完全是在一种自然而发的这种奉爱情感之中。
Okay, we'll stop here.
Okay, 好，我们今天的讲课正文先说到这里，接下来我们看一看大家的问题。第一个问题来自 Jai Krishna 梁谢奎，顶拜咕噜路的莲花族感激翻译永恒的服务，从遵守规范原则到解脱进入梵光需要多长时间？Please accept my humble obeisances and from the from following the regulate. How long does it take from following the regulated principles to attaining liberation or going into the Brahman, Brahmajyoti? How long does it take?
What is Brahmajyoti going to do with this?
对，所以说就是问你为什么在这里专门提到了解脱进入梵光。因为今天我们并没有讲这种解脱梵光。But anyway, you answer her questions.
From following the
因为规范原则并不是让你去解脱进入梵光。
What is Brahmajyoti going to do?
这个梵光跟我们今天所讲的没有关系。
Please try to hear very attentively what this lecture is about. This lecture is about reaching the consciousness of loving Krishna in Vrindavan. Brahmajyoti is right on the bottom and actually does not even exist for a devotee.
那你一定要认真仔细的去听我们今天讲课的主题。我们今天讲课的主题一开始讲的是规范原则，但是我们说的是这个规范原则最终导向的那个终极是对 Krishna 的自然而发的纯粹的爱，就是追随着 Vrindavan 的居民的那种对 Krishna 的爱，跟这个梵光解脱是一点关系都没有的。这个梵光解脱 这个是垫底的，甚至可以这么说，对奉献者来说根本就不存在这种放光，奉献者想都不会去想的。
Lord Chaitanya explains that anyone who desires to merge with the effulgence of the Lord known as the Brahma Jyoti commits spiritual suicide.
那 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 他说呢，任何人呢，他想着要去进入到这种放光，也就是非人格解脱，无异于就是自杀，灵性上的自杀。
Next question.
下一个问题来自于淡然一笑，主 Chaitanya 分别教导了 Rupa 和 Sanatan 教导的内容都一样吗？Lord Chaitanya taught Rupa and Sanatan respectively. What about the teachings? Are they the same or not? Did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teach exactly the same things to Rupa and Sanatan?
There are certain things that he taught which is the same, but he also taught different aspects of pure devotional service.
有一些东西，有一些内容是一致的，一样的，但是呢，他的有的地方角度是不一样的，不同的侧面。
And you can actually recognize when you read the Nectar of Devotion, you will see very clearly the teachings of Lord Chaitanya in that book.
如果是你去读一下这个《奉爱甘露》的话，你会非常清楚的看到。在这里面呈现了 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的教导。
Especially the first part of the Nectar of Devotion, it would be more like what he taught to Sanatan Goswami, and the second part which is about the different relationships with Krishna, he taught mostly to Rupa Goswami.
那么奉爱的甘露它是分成两部，第一部主要是讲的就是那些规范原则，奉爱服务当中的规范原则是非常详细的，这个部分主要是Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 对Sanatan Goswami 的教导，然后第二个部分就是主要是讲的跟奉献者跟 Krishna 之间的那种不同的甜蜜的这种关系。那这个部分是主要是 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 对 Rupa Goswami 的教导。
But both Rupa and Sanatan wrote many books on different aspects of both.Regulative sadhana and pure devotional service.
但是呢，无论是 Rupa Goswami 还是 Sanatan Goswami， 他们还写了很多其他的这些书。这些书都涉及到两个方面，一个就是说，依据规范原则的这种奉爱服务，具体的奉爱服务践行。那么还有一个部分就是纯粹的奉爱之情 ，bhakti. Okay.Jai Krishna 梁谢奎 The same who asked this question 顶拜 Guru 的莲花组感谢翻译听声音 Guru 感冒了注意保护身体无为满足是在人的内心展示吗 Sounds that you have caught a cold Please take care of your health The fearlessness and satisfaction Do they manifest from the innerworld of oneself, meaning from the inner heart to manifest or disclosed in one's heart.
Fearlessness?
Fearlessness and satisfaction. These two, are they actually from your inner heart?
They are the product of being absorbed in Krishna's service.
就是当一个人他完全的沉浸在对 Krishna 的奉献服务中的时候，其实无畏还有满足这两个特征就是说是自然而然的就产生了。
And they are the product of practicing sadhana.
他们也是修习 sadhana 规范原则的产物。
But we have to understand that at some point, self-satisfaction does not register in the heart of a devotee. The devotee is not interested to be self-satisfied. The devotee is interested only to satisfy.Krishna's senses. That's the highest level of bhakti.
不过你要知道，心满意足这种感觉其实并不是奉献者最终他想要追求的。奉献者纯粹的奉献者根本就不会在乎他自己心里到底是不是满足。他在乎的，他关心的是怎么样去取悦 Krishna， Krishna 是不是满足， Krishna 是不是喜悦。所以纯粹奉献者根本就不想他自己心里面怎么样。
And you see that when you hear about the service that the Vrindavan residents render to Krishna, that it's not about them, it's about Krishna.
所以你看到就是在 Vrindavan 的这些居民们，他们对 Krishna 做奉献服务，他们的出发点不是自己，他不是围绕着自己去做奉献服务，他们完全是以 Krishna 为中心去做那些爱心服务的。
Their happiness is based on Krishna's happiness.
他们的快乐完全是基于 Krishna 的快乐。That's it. 好，下一个问题，淡然一笑。如果追随 Vrindavan 的一个居民语言不同，也见不到面。How to follow the inhabitants of Vrindavan? We have different language and we can't even see each other.
What do you mean we have different language? Oh, you mean the inhabitants of Vrindavan?
Yeah, maybe she understood as, you know, I see you and I follow you, I talk to you.
No. I mean, this is a valid question. This is a good question.
How to follow me?
How to follow?
其实你这里的问题,
okay.
的关键是怎么样去追随 Vrindavan 的
Now, this is a very good question.
你的这个问题非常的不错。
Follow really means follow. It doesn't mean imitate.
这个追随指的是,就是真正的追随。
And it's not trying to be them.
这个不是说去模仿他们，或者说试图成为他们那个样子。
It's learning from them.
这个追随的意思就是说向他们去学习。
This is also mentioned in the Nectar of Instruction.
这个是在教诲的甘露里面讲到的。
So how do we follow?
那么我们怎么样去追随？
How do we learn?How they do things.
那就是我们去学习去了解 Vrindavan 的居民他们是怎么样行动的怎么样做事情的。
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained this. He said by hearing.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 说呢其实是通过聆听。
You see, all the process of sadhana bhakti is to regulate ourselves so we can come to the stage where we can just hear.About Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes.
所以你看到我们所做的平常所做的这些好像比较复杂的一些规范原则这些实际上都是为了帮助你最终能够达到那一点就是说我们心无杂念只是去聆听Krishna 和奉献者们在 Vrindavan 的逍遥时光。
That's why devotees go to Vrindavan.
这就是为什么奉献者们会去 Vrindavan.
They don't go there to do shopping.
他们去 Vrindavan 不是去购物的。
They just hear all day.
他们就是在 Vrindavan, 从早到晚去聆听。
They hear the holy name early in the morning.
他们一清晨很早的时候就开始去聆听圣名了。
They go to the Bhagavatam class, they hear about Krishna.
然后呢就去参加圣典博加瓦坛的早课。
They go
去聆听有关 Krishna 的。
On Parikram, they hear about Krishna.
然后去参加 Parikram, 就是绕拜圣地跟着很多奉献者去绕拜。那这个也是在一路上 不断的在聆听有关 Krishna 的。
And you can even meet the people who live in Vrindavan now today.
然后你还能够遇到就是现在就居住在 Vrindavan 的一些常住的居民
Who were born in Vrindavan
他们是出生在 Vrindavan
I mean just being with them
你就是和他们在一起
You get the idea of what it means to serve Krishna
你就能够明白你就能够窥见到就是去服务 Krishna 意味着什么
And this is why Rupa Goswami has given the five most powerful itemsOut of all the rules and regulations, he listed five.
这就是说 ，Rupa Goswami 他听到了这么多规范原则这些要去做的事情，但是他里面又摘选出了五项最重要的奉献服务。
That will bring perfection in following in the footsteps of the bridge bosses.
那么就是可以是通过这个去遵循。就是 Vrindavan 的这些居民们就可以达到完美。
Hearing chanting the holy name.
第一个就是唱诵圣名。
Hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam.
聆听圣典博加瓦坛。
Associating with the devotees.
和奉献者的联谊。
Residing in the holy dham, if not physically, at least mentally.
就是居住在圣地，如果说不能亲身的待在这个圣地的话，也要在这个心中。常住于
and worshipping the deity.
然后去崇拜这个神像。
So this is how we gradually learn. Like for example, for the last one month, every day I hear from Krishna's Vrindavan pastime every morning for 2 hours.
那就比如说我在前面的这一个月当中，每一天我都要去聆听有关 Krishna 在 Vrindavan 的逍遥时光，我要用两个小时的时间去聆听，这个就是追随。
Every time I get more and more details about their interaction.
哦，然后每一次呢，我就能够更加深入的了解到他们之间的那种交流互动的那种细节。
And then I get this.Desire. What about the next? What's going to happen next?
然后我的内心中的愿望也会越来越强烈，经常的迫不及待的等着，哎，接下来会发生什么
？You become attached to here because this becomes your reality. The material world is not a reality.
啊，所以呢，这个你就是你对这个 Vrindavan 的这个逍遥时光的渴望之情，这种依附之情就会越来越强烈，以至于就是 Vrindavan 的这一切。成了你的现实，而不是说你现在周围的所发生的一切是现实了。
And therefore, for a devotee, the challenge is to create or recreate the Vrindavan atmosphere wherever you are. You can be in China, in America, in Africa, or in India. It doesn't matter. Wherever you are, you have to create this Vrindavan atmosphere.
所以说呢，对奉献者来说呢，最重要的也是最不容易做到的，就是说你必须，无论你走到哪里，你就要去创造或者说再现 Vrindavan 的这种氛围不管你是在中国，还是在印度，还是在非洲，不管你走到哪里，你要去再现这样的，去创造一种 Vrindavan 的这个氛围，这是最重要的。
When Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, he wanted to go to Vrindavan, but he got lost.
当 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 成为 sannyasi 陀钵僧之后，他本来是想去到 Vrindavan 的，但是他却迷路了。
And Advaitacharya went to see him, and he told him, he said, "I thought I was in Vrindavan." Advaitacharya says, "But wherever you are, that is Vrindavan."
那么当他那个见到了 Advaitacharya， 他回过神来了，说。哎，我以为我到了 Vrindavan， 但其实根本就不在 Vrindavan。Advaitacharya 是对他说：“我亲爱的主啊，无论你在哪里，哪里就是 Vrindavan。”
So in other words, even your tiny little apartment on the 50th floor of a building somewhere in China can be turned into Vrindavan。
换句话说呢，即便是你住在中国的某一个城市或者是小镇里面的哪一个。高楼大厦里面，甚至你住在这个第五十层，你所居住的这个地方也可以被你创造成为一个文达人。
You know, it can be hell outside your door, but as soon as you walk into an apartment, wow, this is like being in Vrindavan here.
就你开了门之后，外面就算是像一个地狱一样，但是当你打开门进入到你的家的时候，你就感觉到这个就如同走进了文达文。
You can have bhajans playing.
比如说你可以放出这个巴掌唱诵啊，在你的音
频里。You can have the sound of peacocks and cows playing.
你也可以有这个孔雀呀、啊。还有小鸟的这个叫声。
And you offer some incense and flowers to Krishna.
然后你可以给 Krishna 去供奉一些香。
They have beautiful pictures of Krishna and his devotees on your walls.
在你的墙上呢，悬挂着 Krishna 和奉献者在一起的非常美丽的画作。
And you're in your kitchen cooking for Krishna.
你在你家里的这个厨房里面，也是为 Krishna 去做饭。
And you sit down and chant your japa, chanting Krishna's name.
那你坐下来念诵的时候，就是去唱诵 Krishna 的圣名。
This is Vrindavan.
这个就是 Vrindavan 了。那 what about work?
It's a question of consciousness.
这个关键是你的这种知觉或者你的这个意识状态是怎么样。Vrindavan 是在你的意识状知觉之中的其实。OK， 淡然一笑。接下来呢，有一本书叫《主持参念的教导》，讲的就是如法和散乱坦的教导嘛。这本书与永恒的解脱上经有什么区别 ？I know there's a book called The teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So does that include the teachings from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Rupa and Sanatan? What's the difference between this book and Chaitanya Charitamrita?
Well, Chaitanya Charitamrita includes many different teachings.
在永恒的《Chaitanya 经》这部书里面有很多很多的教导。
Now, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya was put together by Srila Prabhupada in the very early days of Krishna Consciousness
Movement. Srila Prabhupada 在我们 Krishna 知觉运动的早期的时候他所编撰的一本书。
Is this book available?
Of course, from day one.
Is it still available?
I'm not sure.
So, Prabhupada was an elderly man when he started spreading Krishna consciousness.
Prabhupada 呢他开始去传播 Krishna 知觉的时候已经是年事已高了。
And he almost died on the boat on his way to America.
当他去往美国的时候，就在那个轮渡上，船上面呢，游轮上面就几乎是，就是他得了这个心脏病，几乎要离开这个人世。
A year later, he had another heart attack.
然后一年之后，他又犯了一次心脏病。
And this Krishna consciousness movement started to explode.
然后在那个从去他去了美国之后 Krishna 知觉运动呢就好像被引爆了一样。
And Srila Prabhupada really did not know how much more time he has to live.
那这个 Srila Prabhupada 他真的不知道自己在这个世界上还能停留多久。
So he tried to give as much as possible at the beginning just in case.
所以他在一开始的时候他就尽可能的能够更多的去呈现这些教导这些灵性的这些知识，因为就是万一呢，他马上要离开了这个世界，那该怎么办呢
？For example, in the introduction to the Srimad Bhagavatam is a summary of the life and teachings of Lord Chaitanya.
那么就比如说，我们看一下《圣典薄伽瓦坛》前面的那个前言部分的话，其实就是整个的是一个关于 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的生平和教导的小传。
And also from the very beginning in the early days, Srila Prabhupada gave us the Krishna book, which is a summary narration of Krishna's pastime in the 10th canto.
还有就是在我们 Krishna 知觉非常早期刚开始不久Srila Prabhupada 他就有了这个 Krishna book, 就是 Krishna 快乐全言这本书。其实这部书也是圣典薄伽瓦坛第十篇的一个概要一个浓缩版。
So it's only in the mid-70s that Srila Prabhupada started working on translating the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is 17 volumes.
就是到了70年代中期的时候 ,Srila Prabhupada 就开始去翻译我们现在讲的这个 Chaitanya Charitamrita 永恒的其他人经。那么在这里呢它一共是17卷。
So much earlier, Srila Prabhupada gave in one book the teachings to Rupa,and the teachings to Sanatan, which became the teachings of Lord Chaitanya.
那么在他开始翻译这个永恒的 Chaitanya 经之前，很早很早的时候，他就已经写了这样的一本书，叫做《主 Chaitanya 的教导》那里面就是包含的 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 对 Rupa 和 Sanatan 的教导。
So that's the book that we have. Teachings of Lord Chaitanya means the teachings of Rupa and Sanatan.
那么就是主且看见的教导里面呢实际上就是讲的是这个 Rupa 给 Rupa 和 Sanatan 的教导。好我们看一下还有没有问题。那Okay, that's it for today.
Okay, well, Sumukhi Radha Mataji, thank you very much.
Sumukhi Radha Mataji, 非常的感谢你。
Krishna Premi Mataji, thank you for your translation.
Krishna Premi Mataji, 也非常的感谢你的翻译。
Thank you to all the devotees for listening patiently and for your excellent question.
感谢所有的奉献者耐心的聆听以及你们提出的好问题。
Before we go, I want to mention that in 2 days from now, the month of Purushottam begins.
在我们结束今天的讲课之前，我最后还想加一句，就是两天之后就是 Purushottam 月。
And this is a very special month where everyone can make huge amount of spiritual advancement.
那在这样的一个普鲁舍特曼月当中呢，是非常的特别的一个奉献者。如果遵循这一个月的话，他可以得到灵性上的极大的进步。
So during that month, everyone is invited to increase the quality of their chanting, the quality of their service.Giving Krishna consciousness to others.
我们要邀请所有的奉献者在这个月当中努力的致力于你念诵质量的提高，奉献服务质量的提高，以及呢更多的去向其他的人去传播 Krishna 直觉的教导。
I'm sure other devotees giving lectures will tell you more about it.
我相信肯定还有其他的一些奉献者在他们的讲课当中会给你们更加的详细的讲一下。
Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Kijai, Shri Rupa, Shri Sanatan Kijai, Shri Prabhupada Kijai, Kashadesh Yatra Kijai, Go Premanande Hari Hari Bol.
百昆台之音服务语音聆听，亲爱的奉献者们，今天的永恒的解贪念经就讲到这里了。我们今天已经结束了玛迦利拉中篇逍遥的第22章奉爱服务的程序，下一次我们将从玛迦利拉中篇逍遥的第23章开始讲。感谢大家的聆听， Hare Krishna。